name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Last weekend, I had to be at the Knights of Columbus State Convention, and so I couldn't speak and tease my mother, even though she wasn't here, on Mother's Day. I like to do that every homily on Mother's Day, say something. So I'll transfer that to this week. Why do I like to tease my mom? Because she is particularly good at embarrassing me in public. You may not have gathered this, but I'm kind of an introvert. That's really rather an understatement. And mom is an extrovert. So when we're out and about, mom just likes to go up to absolute strangers and talk to them. And it drives me nuts. I want to just melt into the wall. But that's who she is. A few years ago on Pentecost at the cathedral, she met a woman who had been away from the church for quite a few years and had returned to the practice of the faith. By the way, she talked to her outside of church, not in the church itself, because that would be bad. So they decided to attend Mass together. And during the Mass, during the readings and the prayers, the woman looked progressively more puzzled until finally she leaned over to my mom and said, "Paraclete? Paraclete? Who is this holy word?" She misheard the word. It's paraclete, not paraclete. Now watch me try to avoid saying paraclete in the rest of the homily. Paraclete describes the Holy Spirit. And it's one of those wonderful Greek words that can't be 100% translated into English. You want to understand what paraclete means, then what you need to do is think about a defense attorney, an advocate, a best friend, and a bodyguard all rolled up into one. That's kind of like what a paraclete is. It's what the Holy Spirit is for us. The Holy Spirit protects us. He gives us life. He gives us God's grace. He makes Jesus present to us, and he defends us. So now we know what the Holy Spirit is. And so we should ask ourselves, who is he? And the place where we find out who the Holy Spirit is in the Creed. You know, that statement of belief that we say every Sunday? What does the Creed tell us about the Holy Spirit? Well, first of all, it says that he is the Lord. But don't we also say that about Jesus and about the Father? It tells us that he is the giver of life. But wait a minute. Wasn't Jesus the one through whom all things were made? Wasn't the Father the one that made all things? So this is telling us that the Holy Spirit is God. And if you didn't quite catch that, it next tells us that the Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father and the Son. He is not created by the Father and the Son, but he proceeds from them, just as the Son proceeds from the Father. So there has never been a time when there's not been a Holy Spirit. And, again, if you haven't caught on yet, we are told that he is adored and glorified with the Father and the Son. Who do you adore and glorify? God. So the Holy Spirit is God. He is the third person of the Blessed Trinity. He is God from God, light from light, true God from true God, just like Jesus. Just like the Father. You know, there's one God in three persons, but the Holy Spirit is neither the Father nor the Son, and so on and so forth. And finally, we are told that he has spoken through the prophets. Now, there are some people who seem to think that the Holy Spirit didn't exist, or at least was hiding until Pentecost. And then, boom, he appeared and goes, ta-da! That's not the case. The Holy Spirit has been active from the very beginning. When we hear the story of creation, what do we hear? The Spirit of God moved across the face of the water. The Holy Spirit. We just heard from the Creed that the Holy Spirit has spoken through the prophets. So it was the Holy Spirit who gave God's word to the prophets and inspired them. And in the baptism of Jesus, the Holy Spirit was not absent. the Holy Spirit descended upon him in the form of a dove. And yet, at Pentecost, he did make a rather grand entrance. He was poured out upon the church at Pentecost to continue the work of our salvation. It's part of the whole plan of God to save you and me and to open the gates of heaven for us. Last night at the Vigil Mass, we heard the story of the Tower of Babel. You all know the story. You know, people built a tower, they were trying to storm heaven, and God said, no. And their languages were sundered, so they couldn't understand each other ever again. So what does this show us? That sin, and pride is of course a sin, destroys not just our relationship with God, but our relationship with one another. Well, that is the exact opposite of what happened in today's first reading. What happened on that first Pentecost is the Holy Spirit gave the power to the apostles to speak in such a way that it didn't matter whether people spoke different languages or not. They all understood the gospel. And so we see in a very concrete way the Holy Spirit undoing the effects of sin. And this, of course, was made possible by the suffering and death and resurrection of our Lord. The Holy Spirit empowered the church to do the work of Christ, and the Holy Spirit makes Christ present here and now. The Holy Spirit is, in fact, present in all of our lives. The Holy Spirit speaks to all people, whether they hear me or not, that's a different issue. You can't say, well, now you haven't been baptized, so you can't hear the Holy Spirit. Who do you think calls people to faith to begin with? You don't have to wait until confirmation to have the Holy Spirit active and present in your life. I just got a call this week from a friend of mine whose son was rather upset. He's a few years away from confirmation. And he's going, why do I have to wait to get the best gifts of the Holy Spirit? So the message I sent back was, you don't have to wait. You already have them. You don't receive them at confirmation. They are strengthened and empowered at confirmation. It is as if your Christian life is dropped into second gear so you can go stronger, faster, and better towards heaven. Now, the Holy Spirit sometimes is present in flashy ways. We heard that today. Wind is a sign of the Holy Spirit, which causes me to think that that must mean the Holy Spirit is very present here in Ogden. Tongues of flame. Gifts of tongues. But more often, the Holy Spirit is that still, quiet voice which nudges us in the right direction. Now, most of the time, the things that God does are very subtle. It's only rarely that they're big and flashy. And it is the Holy Spirit that empowers the church now, preserves her from error in matters of faith and morals. But perhaps there's someone out there who's saying, I don't recognize the Holy Spirit. I don't feel Him present. Well, let me tell you, just because you don't recognize something or don't feel that it's present, it doesn't mean that it isn't there. Why do you think that some people really don't even think about the Holy Spirit so much? How often do you think about Him? Usually you only think about air when you don't have it. If you're having an asthma attack or other trouble breathing, or if you're choking on something, that's when you think about air. When the air is there, you don't think about it. How often do you think about gravity? Probably very rarely, except when you drop something or when you trip. It's still there. I think one of the reasons why we think so little of the Holy Spirit is because He is so active and present in our lives that we would only really recognize if He weren't there. And so this is a real challenge to us to reflect upon our lives and to notice the presence and activity of the Holy Spirit among us. But don't doubt that He is there. He is there. He is with us here and now, and He will be with us until the end of time to make present our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and through him the Father, and to lead us into our Father's kingdom. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.